Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com and worldwide, including the Armed Forces Radio Network.
How this show has grown from, you know, maybe a couple hundred to over 40,000 people. And yeah. That's fantastic.
From coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire. New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.penlive.
Voicelip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Gamma's Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Tommy Bird Ridge Winery.
Toy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Haber Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com.
Dunkle.biz.
I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Thank you, bus people. Beautiful, beautiful night here in Florida. So the bus people are happy.
It's nice. It's nice and cool outside. It's 93 degrees here. So probably a cold front coming through. It'll be 91 tomorrow. So,
It's
time to get the sweaters out and get them ready.
That time of year. It's getting almost September. Yeah.
That's when the temperatures really dip into the low or upper 80s or whatever. Well, welcome. We had last week off. I was off. Ron was busy. So that's good every once in a while. But, we're back, and it's August 28th, 2014, and we're back live. So if you're tuning in, you want to call in, call our guest line. It is 646-727-3235. And if you need a pencil and piece of paper to write that down with, let me know, and I'll send you one. So there you go. Yeah. You know what? I should not. I'll probably regret that because I'll get – and that intro is so dated, and I finally put a to-do list on my desktop. So it says redo All About Wine intro, and I typed it as soon as I heard that, and it says, we've had over 40,000. No, we've had 148,000 or something now.
Yeah.
And AFRN, I don't think we're on AFRN. I think AFRN kind of shut down, or at least as far as I can find on the net, they kind of closed up shop for now.
I've tried to find it a couple of times, and I can't, too.
Yeah, so. they don't come up on Google like they did before. I think their Twitter and other feeds are pretty much down, so that needs to be taken out. And
that's sad.
It's unfortunate, but it is. They had all kinds of programming on there. So not the Armed Forces Radio, the Armed Forces Radio Network. That's a different part. They're kind of affiliated, but they're separate. So we'll see what happens.
So
we were just talking before the show, and I forgot to ask you if we have a guest for tonight.
no guest tonight, but we are going to talk about the earthquake, the Napa earthquake.
Yes.
Yeah, and a little bit of real estate here, and as always, Mike never wants to toot his own horn, so I have to do it. www.radiodjmike.com. Check it out. He is on his music program every Friday and Saturday night from 7 to 9. You can connect there. You can make requests. You can IM him. You can just all sorts of stuff. And keep him busy throughout the show and all that stuff. So, again, radiodjmike.com.
Yeah, thank you. It's been a lot of fun. I've been getting Twitter followers, and now I'm getting musicians asking me, you know, hey, did you get my tracks, or do you have my latest CD? And I'm like,
No.
Yeah, and then they want me to play them, so I'm getting traffic there, so that's always cool.
That's great. Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. Good music out there, so excellent. Thank you. Thank you for the
play. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good show. I tune in. I don't talk to you, but I tune in every once in a while and listen to it for a while and just hear some of the you play some interesting indie music. I mean, some stuff that is really pretty good, and that's always fun.
A lot of thank you. New stuff. All right, so we got the Napa.
Well, let's start out with a little bit of real estate. We haven't done that in 2 or 3 weeks. Well, actually, the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've only had one program that was new because of the events and stuff I've been doing. So, but let's do a little bit of real estate. I got a few here that pass on now. You know, with the earthquake, maybe they've came down on some of these prices. Who knows? Maybe that's a possibility there. But we got some properties for you. Again, as always, if you are interested in finding out more information, email us at allaboutwinebtr.com. I'm sorry, at gmail.com. And allaboutwinebtr@gmail.com, and I'll send you the information. Just let me know which one it was so I won't wonder. Vineyards and ranch for sale. Property consists of 744.22 acres, plus or minus acre ranch. Includes plus or minus 64 acres of premium grape varietals, an additional 40 acres of plantable land, and a 20-acre farmstead, which consists of 4,000 plus or minus square feet main residence with a swimming pool, employees home, two barns, shop, and a garage office. Wow. No price on that, but that's... doesn't say where it is, but this the realtor's in Napa, so that is a Napa number there. Polk County, Oregon, a vineyard and property. 45 acres in Polk County, including 10-acre French truffle orchard. Huh, in a startup stage. French truffle orchard? Another 10 acres ready for planting with excellent vineyard potential. Jory soils, south-southeast exposure, elevation 400 to 500 feet, in vicinity of recent purchases by major players. Solar power, water storage, and micro-irrigation installed. Water rights secured. Potential for organic. Hey, there you go. That sounds like a pretty interesting little piece of property there. Thriving Vineyard in Amador County, California again. Beautiful setting with 32.5 planted acres. Fiddletown, California area. 8 varietals. Zumindel is main variety, all on drip system. No price again. Foothill Winery. Again, the foothills of California. 40 acres, 15-acre vineyard. Cash flow positive. Tasting room, equipment, and inventory included in the price. 3-bedroom house, peaceful setting. 300,000 or 30,000 gallon winery for sale. It has 30,000. So either 300,000 gallon or 30,000 gallon winery for sale. Napa.
That doesn't make
news. What's that?
That doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. It's three. Yeah, I think it's 30,000 because I think the extra zero is stuck at the wrong end there. So I don't think it's a 300,000.
Okay.
But Napa, new state of the art, 10,000 square foot winery with 30,000 gallon permit. Or 30,000. So here it is. It was an extra zero on the top. 24 acres. 12 plus or minus acre planted Cabernet Sauvignon, three houses, 50,000 square foot specialized barns, appointment tours and tastings, commercial kitchen, 4,000 of square foot outdoor patio. And then again, no price, I guess, if you have to ask. And then winery tasting room entertainment, 3,000 square foot winery with tasting room and kitchen facilities, all new jackets, stainless steel tanks, pumps, etc., kitchen, and beautiful outdoor area, $750,000. So there is a price on that one. And let's see, here's twice a month I get these papers in. It's Wine Country Classifieds, actually, is what it is. So a little shout out to the group Wine Country Classifieds. I talked to these people, good people up there, out there. Actually, it's from the published in the area of Napa. That's where this comes from. Premium Lake County Red Vineyard. Cimarron Vineyard totals 294 acres, including 25 acres of mature red variety grapes sold to a premium Napa winery. An additional 100 acres appear to be plantable. A permit to plant 55 acres of this 100 acres bare land is close to approval by Lake County. Here is a trophy property located near golf and other amenities, but gated and private. Price includes the producing vineyard, land to plant, a stylish ranch home with bunkhouse, horse stables, reservoirs, and ponds, and sweeping views. Access roads are paved and property is well maintained. Wow, that sounds nice. $2.5 million. That's in Lake County. Nice area up there. I love Lake County. I used to visit Lake County when I lived out in California. I used to love that. That's a little bit cooler, a little bit further north than Napa, and really nice. Thriving Vineyard in Amador County. Oh, I just read that one. Thriving Vineyard. I read that on the other one there. Central Coast Winery for sale. Central Coast Winery for sale. Confidential offering. Please visit www.mendrins.com for a non-disclosure agreement. So you have to call, I have to visit that and sign a non-disclosure. So, French Country Charm, 20 plus or minus acres with two-story custom home, upgraded antique fixtures, five-acre vineyard, newly planted olive trees in prime El Dorado wine region. Again, California. $875,000 is all. That's a good price. Lucrative and profitable? Yes. Turnkey Lodi AVA Estate Vineyard and Winery for sale due to retirement. 18-year-old cab vines, 7,800 square foot winery, barrel, tasting room, and offices. All equipment and all sales accounts. 1+ million gross sales annually. Growth and expansion possible. Well, that sounds good. And the last one is the one I just saw. Now, this is funny. They did this twice. Now, we were just talking about this 30,000-gallon winery for sale, and it looked like a mistake over there, and yet they repeated it on this on the next month there again. It was 30,000, so that was the one. So that's it. That's our real estate for this thing. Again, if you want to know any more information about any of that stuff, let me know. I will be happy to connect you with the proper people. We are going to talk about the earthquake. I'm sure all of you who are wine people out there, or all of you who have watched the news over the last week, have noticed the information out there about the California earthquake. It happened about, what they say, 8.5 miles south and east of Napa, the valley of St. Helena, rather, of the area there. It is a small earthquake, or a small fault line, that erupted. It's the Napa fault line. The Napa fault line is only about 6.5 miles long, something like that that I've read. And so by fault line standards, it's a rather small fault line. And it erupted, and I read somewhere how deep it was, because that makes a difference in your earthquakes too, how deep it was when it erupted. But it erupted and caused damage. It was like at 3:30 in the morning, Sunday morning, that it happened. And there's been stuff all over the internet. I won't get into it now, but I will before I'm finished talking here about the earthquake. I called some wineries in Napa over the last 2 or 3 days and talked to them. People are busy. I mean, the harvesting is coming in. They're working in crush. They're cleaning up after the earthquake, some of them I talked to and stuff like that. And so I asked a couple of them to come on the program, and nobody was really available. Nobody really had the time, which is understandable. But some of them were kind enough to talk to me. Others didn't. But the earthquake itself did a fair amount of damage on some of the wineries, not all of them. San Francisco area, actually north of San Francisco area, North Bay area, which is quite a ways north. Napa's not just like over the line, it's up a little bit. It was about 6 miles south-southwest of Napa. The wine bottles was biggest. This is the biggest earthquake hit there in almost 25 years, by the way. Local Safeway in American Canyon, American Canyon was the city closest to the epicenter of this quake. And American Canyon American Canyon is a new city from when I lived out there. It just, all of a sudden I'm starting to hear about American Canyon, and it just sort of happened. Very odd. But American Canyon, the Safeway at American Canyon lost a lot of wine. It knocked over shelves, and just a lot of wine was destroyed. A lot of bottles were destroyed. David Duncan, president of Silver Oak, said that they lost a lot of wine too. It shook a lot of wine off their racks and off their shelves and off their storage, and it crashed to the ground. The Walmart in American Canyon had a lot of damage to their wines too. Their wines set on the shelf upright. I mean, if you've ever been in a Walmart, you know how the wines all set upright at the edge of the shelf and face the shelf and very pretty. Well, the earthquake just really did a lot of damage to the wines, shaking off. It did knock off some other stuff on other shelves. But when you knock off a canned good, it doesn't really explode like a bottle of wine does when it hits the cement floor. So, and also on displays that they had throughout the store and things like that. So Walmart was another one that lost a lot of it, a lot of wine because of the earthquake. In American Canyon. American Canyon was actually, like they say, the biggest city in the area, the biggest city that was affected by the earthquake. Okay, and so let me get some more. I'm popping up stuff here and telling you about it. Harvest time, Napa, like I just said. So the earthquake didn't affect the vines at all. I talked to maybe a dozen wineries, and every one of them, I said, any damage to the vineyard, any earth opening up, anything like that, and nobody said that they had any damage that they've noticed to the vineyard. I asked him how the grapes fared, and they said that everything was fine. A couple of them said that they had a little bit of some of the heavier vines had a little bit of cracking on the vine itself, but nothing that was serious enough to cause any damage. Everything's open for business. Everybody's good to go and all that. They're still cleaning up. Signorello Estate said they was going to be closed Sunday. They closed Sunday to clean up. They opened up again Monday, and they were in business. Some of the others stayed closed for Monday to clean up, but most everybody was reopened by Tuesday in the reports that I've seen and reports that I've read. Most of them did not have insurance. This is one thing I found out by talking to them and the things I read. Very few of them had earthquake insurance. Earthquake insurance is very expensive, and it's a roll of the dice, just like any insurance. I mean, you know, flood insurance or any of that. It's a roll of the dice, and it's expensive. I lost my vineyard 10 years ago when the hurricanes went through here. We had four hurricanes in a matter of 8 weeks go through, and it drowned my vineyard. And no insurance. People say, oh, well, insurance. No, you don't get insurance for that stuff. I mean, if I'd gotten it then, it would have been great, and it would have been wonderful, because it was shortly after we planted it that their hurricanes went through. But if I'd gotten it a year later, we have not had anything, and so all that would have been paid out. So that's the gamble that they all take, all wineries and everybody takes. You weigh your loss against the possibilities, and well, you all know. You know how insurance works. I don't need to tell you. Some of them are using temporary tanks and other production equipment to help them get through the next few weeks because some of the main facilities have been affected. The Napa City manager said at a news conference last Sunday, he's been getting a lot of calls from people from outside the area that were planning on coming to Napa and are worried about or feared that some kind of the type of disaster, and they didn't think they would be able to come and enjoy Napa Valley, and you know, with the aftershocks and all that stuff. You know, we can relate to that here in Florida. You know, it happens after an earthquake hits California. Everybody says, oh, everything's bad, everything's damaged. After a hurricane goes through here, everybody thinks, well, again, 10 years ago, everybody thought the state of Florida was useless because it had blown away with all the hurricanes. Well, actually, that wasn't the case. Same thing with the BP oil spill. Everybody took the attitude that well, all the beaches are full of oil, so we can't visit. And it's the concept that people get, and I'm not criticizing people. It's just that's how it works. That's what happens. So people were a little concerned about the possibilities of going into California after the earthquake, especially Napa. They said that by this time, since it hit Sunday, by this time of the week, everybody pretty much is open again. There's nobody that really is closed down. Some winemakers lost dozens and dozens of their barrels, and some of them, just a few bottles. The ones I talked to, I'll tell you about that in a minute here. We'll finish this. Tourism in Napa is Napa's economic lifeblood there. I mean, sure, the wines are great and they're wonderful and they sell them around, but the tourism, approximately 3 million annual visitors, generating almost $1.5 billion worth of direct tourist spending every year. And so it's just amazing. That's over 13,409 travelers a day to the Napa area. It's amazing. And when you start getting something like an earthquake, then everybody wants a piece of pie. One of the things I discovered as I was going through and trying to call wineries, there just in Napa alone, there are over close to 600 wineries that call Napa their home. I did try to get hold of a couple of them Mallet Winery was Napa. I called them. They had closed down August the 1st. No explanation, but and I didn't follow up on it, but they closed August the 1st. But still, close to 600 wineries there, and but most of them didn't have any damage, any problems, anything. The regions around Yountville, St. Helena, and Calistoga seem to experience minimal damage overall. It's just, you know, Rutherford area just north of Napa, Peju Winery, they said that they felt the earthquake, but there wasn't any damage or anything there, and open. A lot of areas down there said that they felt the earthquake, but it just, since it happened in the early morning hours of Sunday, most people were asleep, and it wasn't a factor of how it affected them or anything. So, you know, let's see, this is another article here that it was rather interesting. That Oakville Winery, or Silver Oak in Oakville, said that they didn't sustain much damage at all. He said he did sustain some damage in the vineyard, which was one of the few people that actually said that the vineyard was damaged. There was some damage to bottles. He lost bottles and glasses and a lot of stuff because of the earthquake. He said several hundred dollars a bottle on some of these that he's lost, some of the archived bottles that they have. And some of the others I talked to said the same thing there, that the main bottles and all that weren't damaged. It was their archived bottles that they were more concerned about than anything. Mathiasen's wine, the sellers in the Hess collection, sustained damage in the Silver Oak area. They lost a fireplace. It some major damage on the fireplace and bricks falling out and cracked. Basically, the overall impact from the earthquake on all these areas is still up in the air. Most places say that they weren't really damaged too much. Most places say that they were got through it pretty easily and pretty well, and they don't think there's going to be a long-term impact. But yeah, who knows? It's still early to say on some of this stuff how big of an impact it's going to have on some of that, but they don't know yet. One thing I want to talk about here for a minute, too, is the Oakland Raiders. The Oakland Raiders football team does their practice in an area up there in Napa Valley. The preseason practice, and when they're back into town, they do their practice there and all that. Many years ago, I worked in Hayward, which was just right over the hill from Oakland. I got to meet a lot of the Oakland Raiders at that time. And they were still practicing up in the Napa area. They practice at Napa High School and Vintage High School and some of the other Napa Unified School District has courted them for years and kept them practicing. The Oakland Raiders on Wednesday afternoon donated $50,000 for earthquake relief to the American Red Cross, the Napa Valley Unified School District, and the Napa Valley Education Foundation. So, like, yay for the Oakland Raiders for stepping up and doing that. $50,000 to to help all that through the earthquake. Not, you know, not about wine, obviously, they, you know, but the school districts and the areas there where they practice and all that, they wanted to be sure the facilities were in good shape and all that for students to go back to school. Some of the schools lost classroom supplies and some of the materials and stuff. No major damage that I read anywhere about the schools being damaged or buildings being lost or anything, but there was minor damage on some stuff. So it wasn't like a major school being closed down or anything, which is good. I mean, it could get, you know, quite expensive. One thing I did hear, and one thing I talked to some people mentioned, that some of the old buildings in St. Helena, some of the old, very old buildings there, sustained some major damage. Some of the buildings that have been built since then that were earthquake fitted survived quite well. Some of them that were retrofitted that did not have the earthquake protections and stuff that they do, still sustained some damage, more than they expected it to, even after it was done. And so that the damage was a little bit worse in some of the buildings than they expected it to be, after thinking that the earthquake earthquake buildings and all that stuff. I can't think of what I'm trying to think, the word I'm trying to use here. So, but Oakland Raiders, $50,000 for earthquake relief in the area there. So good for them. They stepped up, and that's great. I talked to some wineries throughout the last two or three days, and I'll just share some stuff with you here, all that of what they had to say and stuff. Futo Winery, F-U-T-O, Futo Wines, they're located in Oakville. Young lady I talked to, Jessica, was very pleasant. They don't have a tasting room. Futo Winery doesn't have a tasting room. They do sell wine. Cabernet Sauvignon Blend is one of their big things there. Get a chance to check out that website too, Futo Wines, F-U-T-O. It looks great. But Jessica said that they lost a few bottles, and that was all. There was no other damage or anything. Everybody I talked to, I asked some basic questions. Did you lose any bottles, lose any barrels, get any structural damage, any damage to the vineyard, any problems that you've noticed other than that? And Jessica said, no, just a few bottles, and that was it. She said things did move. Different stuff was moved over inches, and a few things were moved over more than that, more than just a few inches. But overall, she said they were extremely happy with the fact that they came out of it with not much damage at all. Oakville is not too far from where the epicenter was on that. I also talked to Andre from Van der Heyden Winery, V-A-N-D-E-R-H-A-Y-D-E-N, Van der Heyden. Andre is Andre Van der Heyden. They've been in existence for 37 years. The winery was not damaged. He said there was no problems at the winery at all. Everything was fine. Everything was great. There was no loss of bottles, no loss of barrels, no cracks or anything. He said, but his house sustained major damage. He said the house next door to his, the gas line cracked and exploded during the earthquake, and it destroyed the house next door. Well, because it destroyed the house next door, he said the heat was so bad and everything, it destroyed half of his house, or the side that was facing the one that exploded. He said it felt like a bomb. He said when the earthquake happened, he said he thought it was a bomb going off. They started to hear feel the shake a little bit, and then the explosion from the gas leak, and then the shake continued a little bit, and then he said they got out of the house. Nobody was injured, nobody was hurt, but they're going to be out for 2 months. He said they can't go back in. The house is going to be repaired. He said it is repairable, unlike the house next door, which is not. He said the earthquake knocked everything down in his house, off the walls and just everything. He said everything fell off the walls, everything fell on the ground. There was nothing on shelves or anything. It just shook everything. Probably, maybe part of the explosion did that. Who knows? The earthquake was responsible for the explosion, so we blame everything on the earthquake. But he said that it is repairable, and they will be moving back in. So it's all good for him. No damage at the winery, though. Redmond Winery in St. Helena. I talked to a young lady, Lisa. She tried to connect me to two or three other people, and nobody was available, and nobody was around. And Lisa said that they didn't have much damage and thanked me for calling. And so that was the end of that. Mackenzie Mueller Winery. Sam, very nice young lady. I said, is that Sam really, or is it Samantha? She goes, Samantha, but, I go by Sam. So Sam talked with me. She said they lost a few bottles, no barrels, no barrel damage at all. She said the racks were tilted a little bit in the barrel room, but not enough to cause them to fall. She said she didn't have them stacked very high, and this is something that I found in a consistent theme through most all these I talked to. If they didn't have their barrels stacked high, only a couple, three high, there was not much damage. The damage to the barrels was the ones that were stacked five, six high. Those were the ones that actually collapsed. And just about everybody I talked to said the same thing, that, we only have our stack two or three high, but the ones that cause damage, and they gave me different names to different wineries. I tried to find, tried to get a hold of those, and actually a couple of them I didn't get an answer to at all. Probably busy and not concerned about phone calls. So, Sam, I asked also, Sam, I said, how far were you from the epicenter, where the earthquake actually took place? And Mackenzie Mueller was 2 miles from the epicenter, which, that is right there. When you're only 2 miles from the epicenter, it's just on top of it, as far as I'm concerned. I've been through earthquakes out in California before, and you feel them a long ways away. So being 2 miles to the epicenter, 6.0, it is amazing. And Sam agreed. It's amazing they didn't get much more damage than what they did. Kiever Vineyards, Olga talked to me. Olga is Olga Kiever. She is the wife of the winemaker and part of the Kiever Vineyards. She said that their home received a lot of damage, and their home was on the property. She said the baby grand piano actually moved a few feet from the earthquake. She said that there was a lot of stuff that was moved around the home. The home had, cracks and stuff. She said they're still living in it. It's habitable, but it's going to take some work to get it back up to where it should be and what it was. I asked if she lost any bottles at the winery. She said one. She said that was it. There was one bottle that fell off and hit the cement floor, and it broke. She said there was about a bunch of others that did not for some reason. But I know that because I've dropped bottles from 3 feet off the ground, and they've bounced. I've dropped others from 3 inches, and they've shattered. So it's just a matter of how the bottles happen to hit the ground, and bottles are really pretty strong. I do not recommend you doing that at home, but they really are pretty strong. So it's amazing how sometimes they bounce and sometimes they don't. One thing that Olga said was that they lost three water tanks. Now, let's go back to the fact that Napa and the area is in a severe drought. Actually, California is in a severe drought. They're listed in the 800s on the drought scale that I think goes up to 900. California is almost all of us listed in the mid and upper 800s. And so whenever you have a severe drought, water is of a premium. And it's she said that all three of their water tanks cracked and lost water. 30,000 gallons of water rolled down through the vineyard and ended up on the valley floor. Wow. It's, but she said that was it. She said the barrels moved. She said all the racks and everything, all the barrels and everything moved. But they didn't fall over, didn't break, and there was no damage. I asked how far she was from the epicenter, and they were 9 miles from the epicenter. You notice the first ones I didn't ask. I didn't think about it. And it wasn't until I talked to Sam that I was thinking about how close people were. So they were 9 miles from the epicenter. But the main problem, 30,000 gallons of water. That's sad. Bell Wine Cellars, Sandra, a very nice young lady, said no building damage. But there was some loss of stucco and mortar on from the sides of the building. Nothing major, something that can be repaired and all that. Wasn't cracks or anything. It just the shaking of it caused it to fall apart. No barrel damage. She said that, again, it moved a little bit, but not anything significant. You know, 6-7 inches or so, but it wasn't anything to cause anything to collapse or crack. It was like the whole rack just moved with the barrels on it. There was bottles lost. She said, I said, how many bottles? She said, dozens and dozens of bottles lost. And I go, whoa. And she goes, yeah. She said, we lost a lot of bottles. She said, you know, I said, tasting room around? She says, everywhere. They, you know, dozens and dozens, which, you know, cases fell over that could account for dozens and dozens. I have had cases I've knocked over and, you know, knock them off pallets that were stacked five rows high. I've knocked over cases that were on top of stuff. And when you knock over cases, you break, but you don't break them all. Most of the time when cases fall over, you'll break, you know, maybe half of them. Very seldom do you break more than half of them just by the way they're located and where the cases are. So, you know, I have to think dozens and dozens of bottles lost, which simply means that you have all these boxes, all these cases that fell over, and there are some salvageable in there, but they're also leaking out of the cases all over the floor, broken glass everywhere and all that, and it is a major mess. I to clean up one case that you drop and you break, and the wine flowing out of the case onto the floor, and then you open the thing up, and if it's all over the floor, you can't set it there. You got to set it on something so it doesn't get soaking wet. As you're pulling out the bottles, all of those are soaked with the wine, because the good bottles, and you'll pick up one and pull it out, and it'll have little pieces of glass on it. It's really a mess. So my thoughts go out to all these people who have that type of mess to clean up. Z52 Cellars referred me to call the owner, who was not in at the time and wouldn't be in until next week. So I thanked them, you know, that was about it. Saddleback Cellars. I talked to Morgan, a very pleasant young man. They're 15 miles from the epicenter. He says some bottles were lost, but that was it. There was no other damage, no damage to the buildings, no damage to the vineyard, no damage to the roads, no damage to anything. Everything was good. Everything was great. He said they felt that they were very lucky that they only lost a few bottles. Judd's Hill Winery. This is funny. Nothing against Judd's Hill, believe me. I don't know the people, so I don't have anything bad to say about them. But I called Judd's Hill Winery, and they gave me the menu of who to contact and what numbers to press, and there was a series of numbers there. Said if you want to talk to Judd, then press, I don't know, 101 or 105. I pressed 101. It rang 4 or 5 times, and a recording came in and said, we're not available right now. If you like to send us an email. So I pressed 9, and I waited 5 or 6 rings, and this, I'm not available right now. If you like to, and so I pressed 5, and about 5 or 6 rings later, I'm not available right now. So I pressed 7, and five or six rings later, we're not available right now. So I press 3, and a young lady answers. And I chuckled when she answered, and I apologized for that. Cindy was her name, and I was going to ask her a question. She says, Judd would really like to be able to talk to you, I'm sure. She said, email him, and he would like to, probably would love to be able to talk to you about it. And then so I emailed Judd, and I got an email back from Judd within minutes that says, hi, I'm out of the office right now. I'll get back to you right away. So I didn't get a hold of Judd or Judd's Hill Winery. They are located in southern Napa area. So so much for Judd's Hill Winery. They have taken over for Judd's parents, he and his wife. So they may be very busy. So, you know, overall, I think Napa fared really quite well. From what I've seen and people I've talked to, there was some major damage to a few places. I talked to four or five people that referred me back to two or three wineries that they've heard got major damage. But everybody kept referring back to these certain wineries. So the word was out that they had damage and they were the ones that had problems. But most everybody I talked to said that it wasn't anything that was critical. It wasn't anything that they couldn't recover. It wasn't anything that they had major losses. Like I said at the beginning, people were closed down Sunday, maybe Sunday, Monday, maybe. But that was it. They're open and ready for business, and it's all done. Road damage, Highway 29 through Napa, nothing that I found anywhere that caused Highway 29 to be a problem. That's the main drag down through Napa if you've never been there. And from what I understand, that is not impassable in any area. So, you know, bottom line, Napa is open. It's ready for business. And the earthquake is a topic that I'm sure they could answer your questions, but not something that they're dwelling on and worrying about. So that's it. You know, our thoughts still go out to those who were injured, and thankfully no one was hurt, or killed, rather, during the earthquake, yeah. Which is just amazing that it hit at 3:30 on a Sunday morning, and there were no deaths. That's great, really. So,
very powerful.
But
now I found that it was a 6.0 magnitude at with a depth of 10.7 kilometers, which is about 7 miles.
Okay, was that it? Okay, I wasn't sure. I heard
that's a long ways down. I can't imagine. It is.
Yeah.
I mean, something's happening down there. With, you know, to affect you. There was. They said there was 15,000 people experienced severe shaking. 106,000 felt, you know, strong shaking. I don't know. I mean, it, and you know, 738,000 felt moderate shaking. And it lasted about 10 to 20 seconds, depending on the location.
Yeah. The one that was 2 miles from epicenter, said that they felt it for about 20 seconds,
mm-hmm.
You know, which is a long time for an earthquake.
Yeah.
Really.
And then they had 12 aftershocks following it, and one was a magnitude of 3.9. But, I mean, just that far down, I'm thinking, you know, that's up towards the surface, you know, whatever. But I didn't realize they went down that far. And I think the San Francisco one in 1989 was even deeper, and you know, it was a very, very large earthquake that hit the Bay Area. So it's amazing. I didn't realize stuff like that, you know, affected people up in the, you know, that far down. That's amazing.
Yeah, I read. I'm trying to think, and I can't remember. I read something that the deeper the earthquake, the less, if I remember correctly, the less severe it's going to affect on the top because of the cushion, and the less deep, it's going to cause much more structural damage. And so when you got one that's 7 miles down, approximately 7 miles down, you really cushions it a little bit before it gets to the surface. But still, though, I mean, if that many people were affected and that many thousands and thousands of people actually felt it, can you imagine if one were only like 2 miles down? Oh, my gosh. I mean.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely, yeah. That's a strange thing going on there. Yeah, I mean, we had one, well, I mean, it, nowhere near compared to that, but I felt that the one that happened off the coast of Florida, I forgot how many years ago it was, but, you know, we had that minor one, and I'm sitting at home, and I was like, that didn't feel right. You know, it's like.
Yeah, but it was, I remember that
like,
one, too.
Yeah, that was strange. That's the first time I ever felt that. I mean, I've been to Los Angeles a few times, but, you know, just traveling coast to coast, and I never felt one out there. It's not like they happen all the time, but, you know, they do, I guess, in some quantities, but something major like that, I've never experienced it. But then it happens here in Florida where you never think that it would happen. And it shook a little bit, but not. It was just like a little, like someone outside your window playing the stereo loud or something. I don't know. It was like, you know, nothing. But I couldn't imagine this, to have stuff, you know, that kind of magnitude and everything being that close to it, and what that would. I wouldn't want to be anywhere near there.
You always remember your first earthquake. You know, I mean, I remember the very first one. I was stationed at Fort Ord, California, back when Fort Ord was a fort. I was stationed out there, and I lived in the house with three other guys. There's four of us to share the house. And we used to sit around and play card games, poker, and all sorts of different stuff. Just to while away the time in the evening. And one of the guys had a habit of shaking his foot, and you know what I mean, just sat there bouncing his foot, and he did that all the time. I mean, you know, and we were all sitting around playing cards, and the table started to shake, and we all looked at him. He goes, I'm not doing this, and we look over at the stuff on the walls, on the shelves, and things were shaking off the walls and shelves, and we sat there. We didn't know what to do. All of us were from other parts of the country, and we just looked at each other. And, like, I don't know, 15 seconds later, it was over. And one of the guys said, I think we just experienced an earthquake. And, you know, we popped on the news, and sure enough, they were talking about the earthquake. And it was out in the ocean. I mean, a lot of those in California happen out in the ocean, you feel them. But, it's just, it's just something that you don't think about. It's just like I tell people. They come down here to Florida and they say, Florida has hurricanes. I said, yeah, but you have like a week to get out of Dodge. You know, I mean, you know, it's not like, oh, my gosh, here's an hurricane out in the Gulf, you know. They say, you know, you have tornadoes, but tornadoes, they say there's a storm system heading at you. And so you say, take shelter. But an earthquake. You know, I mean, they were so thrilled and happy because they said they had a 10-second warning on this one. And they said, yay, we were able to predict it 10 seconds before. Well, you know, 10 seconds gives you about enough time to, you know.
Grab some toilet paper and.
Yeah, really, you know, bend over and kiss your butt goodbye. I mean, that's
right.
You know, but still, though, they're all excited about that. But earthquakes just boom, and they're there. And, I mean, of all the weather disasters I've been in my life, the earthquake, I think, is the scariest of them because there's no warnings, no anything. It just starts happening, and, you know, I don't know. It's just, especially something, again, 3:30 in the morning on a Sunday morning. I mean, everybody's home. Everybody's in bed. It's not like you're at work or something. I mean, it's the time. And it's just amazing that there was no more severe injuries or deaths than there was.
Right.
It's just so. No.
Yeah, I think there were only 200 so far. They said like 200 injured, taken to Queen of the Valley Medical Center in Napa, and only 13 of those were admitted. And they're talking about lacerations and abrasions from fallen debris and. There was only 6 that were classified as critical. So,
really? I heard that there was some.
Yeah.
6 of them critical, you say? I hadn't heard that.
And there was some major fires and things like that breaking out. But, it's not
Well, the fires, a lot of those fires, too, Andre Vanderhagen said that, that his house was damaged because of the house next door. The gas line ruptured and caught on fire.
Yeah.
So, those are the things. Well, the San Francisco earthquake back in, when was it, 1918? If I got my year right.
The last one?
They said, the San Francisco, the big earthquake back in 1918. They said that most of that damage was from fires. It wasn't, it wasn't clamps, but they said it just fires did a major, major damage to the city. I don't know. But it's a scary thing. But, yay Napa for getting through it. Yay, again, Oakland Raiders. And I'm not a Raider fan. I'm born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri. So, it's like, ew, Raiders. But yay Raiders for stepping up.
You'll make an exception this time.
Yes, I will. Yes, I will. One other thing I want to talk. I got an email here from Anasazi Fields Winery. They're given their Anasazi Fields Winery is located in New Mexico. Anasazi Fields Winery has their new schedule up for what's coming up in September and October. If you are in New Mexico, Anasazi Fields Winery has a New Mexico Wine Festival coming up August 30th, 31st, and the 1st, which is this holiday weekend, just north of Albuquerque. They have a Harvest Rock and Belly Dance Festival coming up September the 6th. September 13th, the Celebration of Art, Music, and Comedy. The 14th, the Dundee Poetry Series. The 20th and 21st, Santa Fe Renaissance Fair. The Socorro Fest is October 10th and 11th, October 12th, another Poetry Series. And then going into October 19th, they have artwork called wood sculptures and stuff called Size Matters. So a lot of stuff happening in the wineries there in New Mexico at Anasazi. So you can check it out if you're going to be in that area. Anasazi, Anasazi Fields, FIELDS. Winery. That's their website, and it's ozzyfieldswinery.com. And so if you're going to be in that area, check out some of the festivals they're having. Or sign up for their newsletter. They'll keep you informed. Yeah.
Yeah. I got one from, I didn't want to bring it up because I've got the newsletter on here, but it was one of the wineries that I hope I can find real quick, but probably won't be able to. Kincaid. There you go. Kincaid, Saturday, August 30th and Monday, September 1st, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's from Nancy at, Nancy Bentley from Kincaid Ridge Estate Winery. Join us for the release of the 2012 red wines. There's no vineyard tour this year. That's interesting. Due to winter damage. There will be no white wine from 2014. So now is the time to stock up on the 2013 wines while they last. And they're going to have a big release thing this Saturday, August 30th, and Monday, September 1st, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. for the release of the 2012 wines. And Kincaid Ridge will be inducted into the Cincinnati Culinary Hall of Fame on September the 9th.
Wow.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, very cool. So congratulations.
Very cool.
Get more information, go to KincaidRidge.com. And there's more information there. So, very cool.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. All right. So check out. These are all people we've talked to in the past, you can check out past episodes with them. Sign up for them and, tell them that you heard about it on All About Wine. So, it doesn't mean anything, but just cool to get our name out there again.
And then they go, hey, that actually worked.
Yeah.
It's always good to throw a little reference. Don't just go in there, blindly. Sometimes they ask you, well, how'd you hear about us? That you traveled from Honolulu or something, and you're like, oh, yeah, well, I heard you about on All About Wine. So, okay, there you go.
There you go.
That's a good lead-in. You can always throw that in there somehow.
That's right.
Cool. And, And do you have any other news items, or you want to get into your events this week?
Let's go into our events here. I'll let you take over on this stuff here.
Here we go. I'll close that out. And, you have a Wine Fest coming up this Saturday, August the 30th, 11 a.m. until 4 p.m. I'll be back in 1 minute and say a little bit more. Hang on.
Coming up this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., it's Wine Fest at Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Come out and enjoy the live music. Relax with a glass of world-class wine. Participate in an informative wine tasting with Ron. Have fun and shop our vendors offering many unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Wine Fest is a great time to pick up unique gift items. Enjoy your weekend with us at Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From I-75, take exit 285 and turn west for approximately 4 miles. See you Saturday at Wine Fest.
You know, the music's kind of bubbly, but that restroom sound doesn't get me. Come on out. It's this Saturday, August the 30th, 2014, in case you're listening to this a year later, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Sam Osborne will be out there with some great music, great sounds, and it's really cool to be underneath the giant oak trees out there on the back lawn, and just enjoy the day. Participate in an informative wine tasting with our own Ron. Have a little fun and shop the many vendors that are going to be there. And something I don't mention before, I don't think I've mentioned on previous shows, is bring the kids out. And, of course, it's pet-friendly, but bring the kids out because shopping for them will be a lot of fun, too. And you go through and go out into the back area. There's going to be a lot of vendors there. Colleen will be there with the glitter art and multimedia artwork. Scentsy is going to be represented there. Mindy will be returning with her D&D jams and jellies, so try them. They're really good. Let's see, Gunner Leathers, that's Maxine, and she makes custom items and does repairs on all kinds of leathers. Got to check that out. Let's see, who else? Susan returns with Hats Galore, crocheted by Susan Marie. Remember Marie? Yeah. There's all kinds of cool stuff there. Susie's Dogs, served by husband Charlie. What does Susie do? We'll be back again with more grilled or steamed hot dogs. Also, hamburger and cheeseburgers are grilled to order with or without grilled onions. They're a big success, and they will be kept on the menu. Let's see. Also, they're talking about Meatball Heroes. We'll be back on the menu during the cooler weather. And they'll be offering some iced tea, so check it out. Come on out, and that's going to be great. There's going to be a lot of vendors. Shopping's always fun. Bring the kids out because it is, I think it's kid-friendly. I would not hesitate if mine were not older and grumpier. I mean, we got to that point where, no, I know we're in here. So stop by Florida State's Winery this weekend for Wine Fest. It's always enjoyable. And do a wine tasting while you're there so you can sample some of the great wines. And that's a lot of fun. August 30th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And we'll give you the address one more time in a minute here. If you stop by any time the winery's open, you can put some little extra in the tip jar. There's always a good cause that it goes towards. Like this month, the tip jar is for Big Cat Rescue of Tampa, and it's a great organization, and you can check them out at bigcatrescue.org for more details. Come on out, and also remember a donation of pet food for Raffle Rescue. If you bring a donation there, you get a 10% discount on your wine purchase. All right, cool. So check it out. And that's all I have. I think the address is in the ending thing, so I'll leave it at that. But do you have any comments or questions or anything you want to discuss if you're in the wine industry, a winery, a vineyard owner, somebody in the business, that kind of thing, you want to be a guest, contact us. And that information is also in the exiting thing. But we would love to hear from you and get you on the program and see where it goes. You never know.
So, yeah.
That's it. I guess that'll do it for this week, unless you have any last-minute things. I don't see anything on here.
Nope.
We will be back September the 4th. Yeah, September 4th is next Thursday. We'll be back here 11 a.m. to 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
It's 4 p.m. to 6 a.m. No,
about,
we won't.
Yeah. How about 7 p.m.? There you go. Join us at 7 p.m. See, I took a week. And, you know, I had the week off, too, last Thursday, and I lost what I was saying. 7 p.m. on September the 4th, right here on Blog Talk Radio for the next edition of All About Wine. We'll be live. And thank you all for tuning in, and have a great week. We'll see you all.
Thank you all very much for listening.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida States Winery. Florida States Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of US 19 and US 41. For more information on Florida States Winery, visit the website at floridaestateswines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@floon.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Follow the Armed Forces Radio Network on Twitter at the AFRN and on Facebook at facebook.com/Armed Forces Radio. Thank you for listening to this show. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.